Well, we sure need the Lord's help this morning. I was thinking about different thoughts this week and feel like the Lord's been talking to me about some things. Just want to share with you. I don't always have a Father's Day message on Father's Day, but I feel like the Lord did give me some thoughts about this. And starting in Matthew 6 and 9, Jesus said here, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, this morning, I want us to consider our Father that is in heaven. You know, without Him, we can do nothing. I really believe that. The Scripture says, without me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. Now, yes, well, there's a lot of things that we can do. But if we want to produce good fruit and we want to see good things, we're going to have God. It's not going to happen any other way. And so we have to know Him. We have to know the Lord. And so He said, when you pray, you start like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Lord. We adore you. Your name is hallowed to us. We thank you for the Father that you are. We thank you for the provision that you give. We thank you for all those things. And the prayer goes on, as you well know, most all of us probably. But I want to think about a few things. You know, not all of us have a earthly father living. Not all of us have had the privilege that we have had our Father all through our life. I was young, I think 22 years old when my father died. I'm thankful I had him that long. I learned a lot in that time. But I want us to think about this morning, God knew that. And He provided, as a Father Himself, He wants to be to each one of us. He wants to fill a place that only He can fill in our lives as a Father. I wanted to read a couple of songs. Felt like the Lord gave me this song this morning, Consider the Lily. And it says, consider the lily, they don't toil nor spin, but there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow, they don't plant nor sow, but they're fed by the Master who watches them grow. You know, Jesus said something about these things, didn't He? And He wanted us to know, I don't want you to worry. I'll take care of you and I'll be a father to you. You know, in Luke 12, I'm going to come back to that song, but in Luke 12 and 27, we find here a little bit that Jesus said about the lilies, trying to help us to understand His heart. It says here, 12 and 27 of Luke, consider the lilies how they grow. You ever just looked at a lily? Because this says that, at times I've just looked at a lily. I've tried to understand what was Jesus saying when He saw this flower. It is truly a majestic flower, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. It grows, it's wonderful, and it grows from nothing. You put a seed in the ground, and how does it grow? It just does. And we know some of the science of that. But Jesus said here, consider them. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. They don't work at it. They just, God put them there. And He said, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, I just want to encourage us this morning. This is the words of our Father, of the Son of God speaking to us of the Father. He said, how much more will He clothe you than He clothed the grass, than He clothed the lilies, the beauty that He gave. And He said, Solomon in all his glory was not clothed or arrayed like one of these lilies. And he tells us here then, if God did that, which today it is, tomorrow it's put in the oven, whatever happens to the grasses, to the wheat, to the lilies, whatever happens, they live a little and go on. And God clothed them like that. He said, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that a wonderful promise from our Father this morning? You know, we don't all have the same opportunities that everyone else has. I don't have the opportunities that some of you have. And you probably don't have the opportunities that some of us have. But you know what we do have? We have a Heavenly Father that cares about us. And he said, I don't want you to worry. I want you to seek my face. I want you to do my will. I want you to be honorable. I want you to live godly. And I'll take care of the rest. You seek those things that are above. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he said here, now I want to reread that verse. Consider the lily. They don't toil nor spin. They're not working. They're not spinning. They're not making their clothes. But there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow. They don't plant nor sow, but they're fed by the master who watches them grow. The chorus says, we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lily, and then you will know. You know, I've been praying this morning and last night for those that have lost their father. I've been praying a little bit for those that don't have a father right now that had. You know, we lost a couple of good fathers not long ago here, didn't we? We feel that pain. But I want to tell you something. We have a heavenly Father above with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lily and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine, kisses the flowers in the morning with dew, but he's not too busy to care about you. Isn't that a wonderful poem there in that song? And then I thought about Matthew 10 and 29, where it says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground? Matthew 10 and 29. It says here, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You know, the Lord just wants us to know that. I believe through inspiration, he wants us to know that. He wants us to take in that God is taking care of us. Whatever our situation, whatever our job, whatever our work in this life, whatever our calling in this life as fathers, he wants us to know, I'm going to be there for you. I want you to be able, through my grace, I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to make you able to stand. I'm going to make you able to guard your family. I'm going to make you able to have the kind of discernment to see those things that are good and those things that are not good for our families. You know, God wants to do that for us this morning, and he wants our faith to take that in. God will make us stand this morning. And so we trust in that. I want to read this other song, Evening Light Song, number 101, verse 1. It says, my heavenly Father is caring for me. My bark he is guiding o'er life's raging sea. Though storms overshadow and billows are wild, they cannot overwhelm me, for I am his child. Now, I will tell you that it's a privilege to be a child of someone like God. It's a privilege to be his child because he stands between you and danger. He helps you. He outfits you. He clothes you. He gives you all the things that you need in life. God will do that. He's put His promise on it, and I believe we can take it. He'll give us wisdom that we need. He'll give us the helps that we need in life. It goes on to say the chorus, "Oh, I am His child, His own loving child. He cares for me so tenderly, for I am His child." Now, I will tell you, I know what it means to care for a child tenderly. I know what it means to see that child born and feel that connection that begins to grow in with you and that child, or with a father or a mother and that child. It's a tender connection, isn't it? And we find the psalmist says, the songwriter says, "He cares for me so tenderly, for I am His child." That's the way God cares for us, folks. He put it in our hearts to care for our children like that. And if we don't defile that, we'll have that kind of care. It's from God. It's a blessing. It'll die for a child. It'll work all kinds of hours to see a child taken care of. That's what that God put in here will do. But we know that not every man allows God to work like that. But I will tell you one thing, one we can trust, and that's the God of heaven. He'll be our Father if we'll let Him. We all know John 3:16. What's it say? "For God so loved the world that" what? "He gave." I want to tell you something this morning. God gave. And He wants us to give. Fathers, I want us to be challenged by the model that God has lived before us. He Himself said He was the Father. He put Himself in that figure because He wants us to have that kind of model. That's part of the reason I believe He did that. He wants us to look at Him. That we see God is, He wants us to be. He wants us to emulate that. Fathers, be strong in the Lord. Stand between your child and those things that you see would harm them. Have the discernment and the wisdom that comes from God, because without me, He said, you can do nothing. But get a hold of it. Get a hold of Him so we have Him. So we do have those things. With Him, we can do all things, can't we? We can be a good father. We can be something that the Lord takes pleasure in. But it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Isn't that wonderful this morning? The Lord gave for us. That was a deep giving. All right, I want to come to some other things in a few minutes. 1 John 4:16 is another John 4:16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. You know, God wants us to be like Him. He wants us to follow Him, to emulate Him, to take upon us His characteristics. The things we see in God. Is love mushy? Does love have no strength in it? Is love something that really is kind of weak? I'd say not. I'd say love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than that which will happen to all of us. Love is stronger than that. You know, this morning God wants to fill our lives with His love, with His strength. The love is not wishy-washy. Love is not something that, well, I just, it's okay. I will tell you, love has strength in it. Love will do that must be done. Love will stand up and be strong when it must be strong. And God wants us to take upon ourselves these characteristics. And I just want to challenge all the fathers this morning. Let that work of God work in our hearts today. I believe the Lord wants to do that. As He is, so are we in this world. The Lord wants us to be like Him. He wants us to follow His example. And then we look over in the same chapter, 1 John 5 and 3, and it says, I'm sorry, the next chapter, 5 and 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." I just want to talk a little bit about God this morning. You know, sometimes people get in their minds that God only does things that He only allows things that always feel good. If it doesn't feel good, it's surely not from God. I don't know God like that. I don't want to be a father like that. I want my children to be blessed. I want them to be to follow good paths. I want them to enjoy life. I want them to have the best of life. But I will tell you what I found out. Sometimes there has to be some correction, doesn't there? This scripture here says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." You know, the Lord requires that of us. As a father, He loves us with the kind of love that He sent His Son to die for us, and yet He's strong enough to say that love is that we keep His commandments. And you know, He requires us to keep His commandments too. You know, not only does He want us to, but God requires that. He requires that we keep His commandments. And it says His commandments are not grievous. I believe if we're motivated by love, those commandments won't be that hard. I want to look over in Hebrews. And I'm trying to move fast here to redeem the time. Okay, the Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions. I think that's true. Hebrews 12 and 5. Now listen to what the Scripture says. We live in a world today that is going... Now, we quoted Jesus' words, "Without me, you can do nothing." And they're trying to do everything without the Lord. And we find their very philosophies getting mixed up and backwards and calling good evil and evil good. And we find that all along. But, you know, it's good for us this morning to have a proper picture of who God is. In Hebrews 12 and 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Have you ever been rebuked before by somebody? Have you ever been just flatly said, "No, that's not right. You shouldn't think like that"? I have. You know, don't faint when the Lord rebukes you. You know why people do that if they do it in love? You know why a father does that to his children? Have you ever had a child that was bent on doing their own way and their own thing? They had it in their mind and you knew that it was going to bring them much trouble in life? Have you ever seen that? Was you strong enough? Can we be strong enough to step in between and say, "No, I can't let you do this. I love you too much. I can't let you do that"? Have you ever seen a child that willingly, openly, on purpose, disobeyed and was doing disobedience? And you, are we strong enough to step in and say, "No, I can't let you be like that. I can't." Jesus and God won't let us either. And He says here, don't despise the chastening of the Lord and when you're rebuked of Him. The Lord loves us enough to try to correct us and try to bring it. This is a picture of who a proper father is. Now, in the world today, we hear if you spank a child, surely you've done a terrible deed. I will tell you, you will save a child a lot of heartache if we will be strong enough to correct them. We're not talking about beating them. We're not talking about harming them. We're talking about correcting them, giving enough punishment to cause them to be willing to do the right thing. When they're little, they don't have the mind to think all that through yet. It's just something we have to do as fathers, doesn't it? Isn't it? Okay, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, where do we get these kind of ideas? We get them partly right out of the Word of God, don't we? This is our textbook, not our own mind, what we would think. We've raised a generation of rebellious children today that don't know how to work hard, many of them, that don't know how to take correction, that don't know how to live peaceably with other people when they're crossed. That's our job as fathers, to help them as God helps us. And it goes on to say, now whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You're not really sons. You're not really loved of the Father if we're not willing to correct them, bring them into a place where their whole life can be blessed rather than this momentary pleasure that they take in their disobedience. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You know, this morning, the Lord doesn't chasten us for pleasure. It's for our profit. And I believe a father does that too, if he's doing it properly. He does it only for profit. Not only for the child's profit. Not for his anger's sake. Not for his self. For now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Isn't that the result of what strong men and women want to see in their children? They want to see exercised in their children that peaceable fruit of righteousness unto those that are exercised by the corrections that they're giving. It takes strength. Children, I want to encourage you. If you have a father that has strength, don't resent him. I'm not talking about a father that's abusive, that beats children, that does mean things to see for his pleasure. I'm talking about if we have a father that's strong enough to say no. We might not understand it, but I will tell you there's a reason the Lord told us to obey them. And if nothing else we learn obedience. And then when we get out there on our own, we'll have an obedient heart to God. This is the way it works. And if we implement it like God plans for it to be implemented, we'll do well by that. And I encourage all of us, all of our children, all of our families, be strong. And don't be afraid to be strong. Children, don't be afraid to obey when you don't understand. Communicate to our older children especially. Why? So they understand. I long for your benefit here. I can't let you do these things. Sometimes I can't even tell you all the reasons why. But it matters, doesn't it? That's what God does for us. I believe he's the perfect role model. He's our protection. Stands between us and danger. He promised to be that. He's our security. He's our supplier. He's our... We respect him. We love him, don't we? All right. You know, we want these things so much for our children. Because if our children learn that, they're much more likely to learn that with the Lord, too. Much more likely. A child, children, you don't want to be a child that's left to yourself. You don't want to be an uncorrected child. You need correction. Allow it and let it work in your life. We have a blessing to have fathers that will do that. And I thank God for every one. In Genesis 18 and 19, listen to what the Lord God said about Moses, or about Abraham. He said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." You know, God said this of Abraham. He said, "I know Abraham. He's faithful to his family. He'll command his children after him." Now, I've said this before, I know, but I'm going to say it again. We can't command our children after us once they leave. We can't even command them sometimes as they get older at certain ages. I believe we can until they're adults. But I will tell you, we don't want to be in command of them. But by our honor, by our example, by the belief they have in our God, by the walk we've had with our God, we can command their lives. We can have some input into their lives. But Abraham had that. Don't we see later where it talks many times of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And what you see is that Abraham, God had confidence in him. He saw, he knew he was going to be a father that really cared about his children. He was going to be a father that took care of his son. And he said, "I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord." All right. I'm trying to condense. I want to read Acts 7 and 29 now. And listen to this. This is Stephen with his defense before those that were fixing to stone him. And he said, "Then fled Moses at this saying." Now, Stephen is talking about Moses. Well, we'll read it. "Then fled Moses at this saying," when the Egyptian had saw him kill a man, had seen him kill a man the day before. And then he was like, "Are you going to kill me today?" "Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired," 40 years, "there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, 'I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' Then Moses trembled and durst not behold." These men that had lived long time before Moses, but they were his grandfathers. He knew of their God. He had heard of the work of the Lord in their lives. And they had set the stage for Moses to hear God's voice. And when God spoke to him, Moses already was aware. He already knew something of this God. You know, sometimes we don't realize the impact that we are having or not having upon our children. Do we want some generations down the line, maybe for people to still fear God, to still know that there was a God, that my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, I know he served God. You know, these men, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, had set the stage for this meeting between God and Moses here. And God called Moses at this time to his work. But listen to the words here from what God said. He said, "I am the God of thy fathers." He didn't say, "I'm the gods." He didn't say, "I'm one of the gods." He said, "I'm the God of thy fathers." I want to ask us this morning what we're serving. Are we serving the gods of this world? Are we serving the things that everyone around us serves? Is that our ideal? Is that what we have in mind? I'll tell you what Abraham had in mind: to follow God wherever he went. He got up and he left Ur, and he left that place, and he went to a land he didn't know where he was going, because God called him. I want to challenge us this morning. Where are you in that picture? Has God called you? Get up. I want you to get saved. Get up. I'm calling you today. I want to tell you something. God calls us, doesn't He? He was faithful not only to call Abraham and then to call Moses 400 years or many years later, but He called us too, didn't He? God has put His hand on every one of us. I want to urge us, get up and hear the call of God. Are we serving the gods of the world, or are we serving the one true God this morning? Are we taking His way and His alone, or do we divide Him between the gods of the world and our own gods? I will tell you what blessed Moses here. God could say, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I want to challenge us this morning to leave our children that kind of something, that God can speak to them and they can know this is God. This is not just my flesh calling. This is God. This is the God that my fathers knew. I believe we can leave that kind of legacy or that kind of thing to our children this morning. In Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to try to just quickly read a little of this, but I want to read a little of what God gave for the children of Israel in 6 and 4 of Deuteronomy. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You know, that's one thing. God, from the very beginning, there was only one God, one Lord. We could not serve Him and other gods. We cannot have a divided heart. It says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Men, fathers, that's our challenge. This word that God commands us be in our heart. How are we going to pass it to our children if it's not alive and blazing in our heart first? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. You know, this morning, I just want to challenge us again. He said, when you've come into that land and the Lord has blessed you, don't forget and get full and forget the Lord thy God. The land that He gave to your fathers. You know, this morning, many of us here are recipients of somebody else's living, aren't we? Somebody else lived before us, didn't they? Many of us have that, and thank God for it. Let's beware, lest we just enjoy the good life, and lest we just allow ourselves to miss the mark that God wants us to have. I wanted to speak for a moment about, there's different kinds of fathers. I want to encourage us this morning, be a man of God. There was a lady named Abigail, wasn't it? Nabal's wife. And you know what she said of her husband? He's such a man of Belial. Or maybe that was his servant that said that. But she confirmed that was true. You know, this morning, let's be a man of God. Let's leave something. Let's help our children be able to get founded on the things of God. And the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 14 and 26. Listen to this. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That's our Father, isn't it? And His children shall have a place of refuge. Isn't that wonderful this morning? That's for all of us. If we have a father, if we don't have a father, this is for us. In the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. In living for God. Is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. You know, our children should have a place of refuge too. We should never have a place that harms our children, that causes them to be marred in a way that's going to create problems for them later in their life. People do that all the time. Learn to do well. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You know, we study, don't we? We study, hopefully, in the things of God. We study for our business, don't we? We study the things we're interested in. I want to challenge all of us fathers this morning. Study to learn how to be a father that's effective. Because we won't make it on our own. Just on our own whim, we won't hit the mark that we should hit this morning. But study to be. Learn. Ask questions. We all need help. We're without God's help, we can do nothing. I believe that. But make many critical errors. And I've mentioned this a number of times, but in Daniel 2 and 28, Daniel said this. He said, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in thy latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." Now, you know, Daniel was able to tell the king his dream, something that no man could do, but he knew God. And he said, and Daniel said, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." I just want to put this challenge to us. I feel like the Lord gave me these thoughts this morning. Brothers, men, fathers, there is a God that revealeth secrets. He knows the secrets to our children's heart. Now, I'll tell you what our secret is. That's to be live like Daniel lived and know that God. Because He wants to reveal secrets to us. He wants to tell us things that we need to know about raising our children. Our secret is to live close to God and to know His voice. I believe the world is in critical need of godly fathers. Men who will do only good to their children and not lead them in an evil way or hurt them in any way. I am amazed at the amount of hurt that people do to one another in their own families in today's world. You know, there is a vacuum for godly men and fathers. I thank You for the many men that we have here that are saved, that are good fathers. I thank God for that. I want to encourage all of us to set a sight up there. That's my number one goal. God gave me my family. First, I'm going to serve Him, and in serving Him, I'm going to serve my family. And then everything else trails behind. I'm going to do that. You know, if we'll set some of those things, I believe it'll change the direction sometimes that we go. In the world today, we find a lot of innuendos and children's books. Some of the children's books portray a father as someone weak, as someone stupid, as someone without good judgment, foolish, always making bad decisions. They do that. I found a whole set of books. I think it was the Berenstain Bears. Yeah, the Berenstain Bears. And I began to read those, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. This dad is always ignorant. He's always making foolish choices. And I will tell you, that's the world. This morning, let's choose things and let there be, and let the world know that there are men with strength, not foolish and stupid, not silly in the way that they handle their families. I believe God outfitted men for the job that they have. There's more we could say. We know that men's job is tough. They face a world many times physically working hard, emotionally working hard, physically working hard. My hat's off to every man that goes out there, conquers his flesh, and does what he has to do. Supports his family in a way that they should be supported. Through the ups and the downs, the disappointments, and the things that make them happy, they hang in there. And they become good, godly fathers. You know, this morning, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.